David finds himself in a very difficult place. He's living with the people that he was called to conquer. He's living with the Philistines. The same David who killed the giant, who stood on behalf of the Philistines. The same David who said they sung songs about he has killed his, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. He finds himself in a very low place in his life. He's not welcomed at home, and he's living with the enemy. His place is so low that he even decides to go to war against his own people. And he sides with the Philistines and even goes and is ready to fight on behalf of the Philistines. And while he's away, turmoil strikes his home. If I was to ask people to testify this morning about their walk with Christ, they would testify and tell you that it's not always easy. It's not always a walk, an easy walk. Matter of fact, sometimes it can be tedious. Sometimes it can be very difficult, and we can find ourselves in very difficult places. It seems like the closer we get to Jesus, or the harder we try to get closer to Jesus, the more the devil resists us, and the stronger the fight gets. The seas of life can be treacherous, and all we can do sometimes is drop the anchor and hope that when it's all said and done, we still have a ship sometimes still sailing. Life can be tough. One moment it's easy, and the next moment you're in the storm of your life, wondering how you're going to get through it, wondering if the Lord even is there. How many have been there? How many have prayed prayers and you didn't think they got out of the ceiling? How many have cried out to God and wonder if he heard you? There's always those times in life where in life it's not easy. And it's a shame today, because today in Christianity, many preachers have painted Christianity as an easy road. And it's not an easy road, and I want to completely dispel that myth right now. Sometimes it's going to be tough. The Bible has never told us it would be easy. It never told us that you wouldn't go through a fiery furnace, or that you wouldn't go into a lion's den, or that you wouldn't go into some difficult times of your life. But the Bible does tell us that in every difficult situation, God would be there. That God would carry you through. That God would pick you up and keep you strong. God didn't deliver the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He delivered them in the fiery furnace. He did not forsake them, and nor will God forsake you in the circumstances of life. The Bible is abundantly clear that in the presence of trouble, that doesn't mean that the absence of God. Just because there's trouble doesn't mean God is absent from you. Just because things aren't going your way doesn't mean God has let you go or he's abandoned you. Sometimes it means that you're doing all the right things the right way and the enemy's working even harder against you. Matter of fact, I'd be afraid if I didn't have too much trouble, because if I didn't have trouble, I'd ask God, am I doing right? Is everything all right here? Because the enemy's not happy about those who love God. And if you love the Lord and you're trying to be pleasing to the Lord, you can expect the resistance from the enemy. So the presence of trouble doesn't mean the absence of God. It means God could very well be there, and you just can't see him because the trouble is all you can see sometimes. Jesus didn't teach that the way would be easy. Matter of fact, he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That's what Jesus said. You will have tribulation. Peter didn't teach that the believers should be shocked when the trials of life come. Matter of fact, Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are come upon you. Don't be in shock when the devil comes against you. But actually rejoice in your heart, because you've been found worthy to be tested and to be tried and to say, Lord, I'm going to prove that I love you through this trial and through this test. Jesus even said in his famous Sermon on the Mount, he said, God sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. We all go through circumstances where we feel like we're knocked down, don't we? We all go through circumstances where we feel like we're knocked down. Sometimes it takes determination to get back up, doesn't it? Sometimes it takes more focus on the Lord when all you can do is see the trouble. It takes a lot of focus to say, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you even though the storms are raging around me. I'm going to keep my eyes on you, Lord. I'm not going to look to the right nor to the left. I'm going to ponder the ways of my feet and let all my ways be established. It takes a real strong focus to do that. It takes a real fortitude to say, I'm not stopping here, but I'm going to get up and keep going forward and not allow the enemy to knock me down and keep me down. You know, the Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And during the difficult times of life, the flesh truly is weak. During the struggles of life, we find our flesh saying, give up, and our spirit saying, what are you talking about? We don't give up. We don't surrender. We don't put up the white flag and let the devil know that we're done. When we keep marching, we keep going. Our spirit says, we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep going forward. Even though the flesh says, it's impossible. You might as well quit. You might as well give up. Why do you even want to keep serving God? Why do you even want to keep going to church? I mean, why don't you just stay home? You're more comfortable staying home anyway. Your flesh tells you that. But your spirit says, get up and go to church, right? Your spirit tells you to keep moving forward. Your flesh is against the things of God and is always at war against the things of God. And that's why Paul said, you got to crucify the flesh. That's why Paul said, I die every day. And that's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, he liveth in me. And we have to die to who we are, die to the flesh. Because the flesh, if you listen to your flesh, you're bound to quit. If I listened to my flesh, I certainly wouldn't be a pastor today. I could tell you that. There's a whole lot of other careers where I didn't have to do anything, or I could have went out and been an engineer and I could have left work at work, but I never leave work, it seems like. I could have done something else, but that's what the flesh wants. But what God wants and what the Spirit of God is beckoning to my spirit, and that's what matters most, is that our spirit is moving us, that we're not operating by what we feel and what we think and what we like, but we're operating in the realm of faith, and we say, Lord, it doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I like. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm going to focus on you, and I'm going to trust that you brought me this far, not to leave me, but to take me through. So I don't want to talk to your flesh. I don't care what your flesh is saying to you. I don't care if it says give up. I want to talk to the new creature in Christ Jesus this morning that is birthed inside of you. I want to talk to that new creature that tells you how to live and walk and tells you how to be encouraged and tells you how to be, let the fire of God burn in you even though you don't feel it. I want to talk to that new creature that when you fall down and you stumble and you make horrible or horrific mistakes, it tells you to get up and to keep going. I want to talk to the new creature because when the flesh tells you to quit, the Spirit of God inside of you will tell you to get up. The new creature will never tell you to quit. The new creature believes beyond the circumstances. The new creature can be refreshed and renewed in the darkest of circumstances. When all hell comes against you, the new creature in Christ Jesus will say, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. David faced some very difficult times in his life. He fled from Israel because King Saul was jealous of him, wanted to kill him. And so he had to flee even out. He had to go so far that he went into his own, the enemy's territory to live. That was the only place he could be safe from King Saul and his pursuit. He felt rejected by his own home. He felt like if he went home, they're going to kill him. So he felt alone, he felt ostracized by the people that he had worked so hard to please and serve. He felt like he had no place to go. And then on top of it, when he tried to side with the Philistines, they said, you can't fight with us, David. Because we're afraid that if we get in the midst of the fight, you're going to turn against us and support Israel, and we'll be stuck. So you can't fight with us. So he couldn't even fight with the enemy. Could you imagine? I mean, that's a bad place to be. So they sent David home. And they said, David, you can't fight with us. You can't stay with us. And so David had to go back. And isn't it just like the devil? When you're down, he kicks you again. I said, isn't it just like the devil that when you're down, he kicks you again? And David was down on the ground. He comes back. His heart's troubled. And all he sees is the smoke going up from the city that he had dwelled in, burned by fire. When he gets into the city, he doesn't see dead bodies. He sees that everybody that belonged to him and his men was taken captive, and they were gone. What a very difficult place to be. And then David standing there, and all the men, and the Bible said they lifted up their voice. And they wept. They cried. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't even have words? All you could do was cry. And David cried. The king, the one that God said, this is the apple of my eye. This is the new king, the one Samuel said, are you sure, God, that's him? And God said, don't you look on the outside, because God sees the heart. And God chose David to be king. He's in the camp of the Philistines. He's rejected by his people. He's rejected by the Philistines. And then on top of it, the devil steals all of his family. And he cries and weeps. You mean good things can bad things can happen to good people? You mean it rains on the just and the unjust? You mean to tell me that there's going to be times in my life where I'm going to look around and say, God, I don't see you. I don't understand. What am I going to do here? And your devil's going to just keep on kicking you and kicking you and kicking you. And you're going to say, Lord, are you ever going to stop the kicking? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. But David did not allow the kicking to keep on going. We're going somewhere here. David did not allow the kicking to keep going on. You see, some Christians, they get kicked and they... just a fat lip. You know. Lord, I don't understand, Lord, I don't... I'm not belittling, don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling. I know what it's like to be kicked. I know what it's like to be down and be kicked. And I know what it feels like, so don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling it. I understand that place. But I'm also telling you that there's a different attitude that only comes from the realm of faith. That if you don't allow your faith to kick in and you don't allow the new creature in Christ Jesus start talking on your behalf, you're going to allow yourself to be kicked and kicked and kicked, and you'll never change that fat lip into a smile. And so you've got to learn how to do what David did. You've got to learn that when the devil's kicking you, and he's hitting you, and he's hitting you, and he's coming from the right hand, and he's coming from the left hand, and he's attacking from the front, and he's sneaking in from the back, you've got to learn that when the devil's attacking you, how to encourage yourself in the Lord. How to do that. You've got to learn how to walk in encouragement even when you're not encouraged. When nobody's there to even pat you on the back and say, good job, David. You've been a good leader. You led us right into trouble. You led us away from our family, and the enemy stole our family. We're going to take you out and stone you. And David didn't go, oh, dear Lord, what do I do? I don't know. He didn't lay down and mope. The Bible said, but David, all the stuff around him, all the trouble around him, but David encouraged himself. He said in his heart, this is not the end of where I'm at. This is not where I stop. This is not where I'm done. This is where the beginning of where God is taking me to. Philistines 1 Samuel 30:6 says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. If you're not going to encourage me, I'll tell myself to get up. Oh, man. I don't need your accolades. I don't need you to say, well done. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. And so I'm not putting my trust and confidence in the words of men, but I'm putting them in the word of God, and I'm putting them on the cross of Calvary, and I'm putting them in the empty tomb, and I'm putting them in heaven where he ever liveth and maketh intercession for me. And so I have to choose what I'm going to allow into my life, if I'm going to allow the kicks of the enemy, or I'm going to choose to get up and smile in the face of adversity. Oftentimes in Christianity, we are going uphill against the wind. Uphill against the wind. And you're going to find in your Christian walk that oftentimes that is the case. Now, I love it when I can whoop onto my rear end and slide down the hill. I love it when that happens, but I'm telling you, those are few and far between. I'm telling you, sometimes I'm on a hilltop, and all I'm doing is looking at the valley to come. That's all I'm seeing. And sometimes I'm on the other side of the mountain wishing I was on the top, going, Lord, I want to see the other side of this mountaintop. Wherever I am in this walk with God, I know this. Whatever the circumstances come my way, I've got to learn that I'm not operating in fear or in doubt, but I'm operating by faith. And I know I may not see victory, but I know in whom who brings victory. And so I'm going to trust him to take me through it. So we got to choose to get up, because the enemy wants you to stay down. You got to choose to get up, because the enemy wants you to lay down. Oh, he desires for you to say, I quit. I'm over. Now listen, I've been on the other end of the receiving end of the kicks when the enemy just keeps kicking. And there have been times where I quit. Hey, man, I'm done. Praise the Lord. I remember telling the Lord one time, I was getting beat up so much, I told the Lord, I said, you know, if this is what it's all about, I'd rather go back and sin. Because some of these Christians are meaner than the sinners I hung out with. At least in the bar, you knew they were drunk and didn't mean it. These Christians ain't even drunk and they mean it. Amen. And so, I mean, there have been times where I was ready to quit, ready to give up. So I understand being kicked and being put down. But I cannot tell you how many times the Lord has come by and said, Bruce, what did you tell me when you first got saved? And I remember telling the Lord, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what, no matter what the circumstances. I'm going to give you my whole life forever. And I cannot tell you how many times the Lord brought that back into my life to remind me that I said those words. And so some of you need to just get up and look at the enemy and go, you keep on kicking, buddy. You keep on bucking against me. But I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. You're not going to get me to shut up. Oh, I like that one. You're not going to get me to give up. You're not going to get me to let up. And you might bring all this against me, and the storms may be raging, but when it's all said and done and the dust settles from the storm, I'm going to be standing right here, devil, because I'm putting my foot on the rock, and I'm not going to move, because I want to laugh at you when this is over. The enemy, he loves to speak into his voice with doubt and fear. His goal is to lead you deeper into a depression. Samson, boy, he fell, and he fell hard, didn't he? Laid his head in the lap of Delilah. And then she cut his hair. That was the worst barber he ever could go to. Right? Shave that poor guy clean. She must have gave him some sleeping pills, because I could feel people cutting my hair. Right? I mean, he must have been really out. Because he got completely shaved. And when he opened up his eyes, the Bible said that he shook himself, and he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. The Spirit of God had left him, because he lay in his head in the lap of Delilah. And the story you would think was over. And to most people, they would say, oh, Samson's done. I mean, they did poke out his eyeballs. And they did bind him to a grinding mill and make him grind like an animal. But they made a crucial mistake. The barber didn't show up for a couple years. And the Bible records these famous words that I claim for my pastor Deathridge all the time, because he's got a bald issue. Howbeit, the hairs on his head began to grow back. For everyone bald in here, there's hope. Amen. Howbeit, the hairs of his head began to grow back. And his hair began to grow back, and he began to get his strength again. And he put his hand, they took him into the temple of Dagon, and they're worshiping, and they're making a mockery of God, making a mockery of Samson. And Samson says, put me on the pillars. And he prays the prayer, Lord, one more time. And aren't you thankful that the Lord doesn't throw you away, but he'll come down in your life again one more time. Aren't you glad that the Lord will come into your heart and say, listen, this isn't over. And Samson, putting his hands on the pillars, looked in the devil's face and said, I'm going to go down with a fight. I'm not going to go down in defeat. I'm going down in a fight. Devil, you might take me down, but I'm going down fighting. I'm going to go down victorious because I stayed with my Lord. Amen? We need to choose to get up because God upholds you. God gives us divine support. God has not abandoned you. Look at your neighbor and tell him that. God has not abandoned you. You are not abandoned. You are not left alone. You are not forsaken. You've not been put aside. You've not been pushed away. But God is still with you and loves you no matter the circumstances of life that surround you. No matter what you feel right now in your flesh. Some of you are discouraged in your flesh. You're spiritually discouraged. Your flesh has caused you to be spiritually discouraged. You've made mistakes and you haven't been where you want to be with God. And you haven't been able to succeed in some spiritual areas that you really want to succeed. And so you're discouraged in your heart. But the Lord wants to tell you, in your discouragement, he has not abandoned you. In your faults and failures, in your shortcomings, he has not abandoned you. Let me remind you that when he saved you, he knew you were a fixer-upper. Amen. He knew you were broke down. He knew you couldn't make it on your own. And so he came and saved you anyway. Sometimes we're like little toddlers learning to walk. The Lord picks us up and he says, come on. Come on. Come on now, right? Oh. And you go, ooh. And the Lord says, come on, no, come on, come on, come on. Don't be discouraged because you're learning to walk in areas you never learned how to walk in. Don't be discouraged that you don't understand everything, that you don't get everything. And don't be discouraged that you've prayed and you haven't seen the immediate answer right then and there. Don't give up because it hasn't gone the way you think it ought to go. Don't be discouraged. Trust in the Lord. He upholds you. Micah 7:8, look at this. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Oh, come on now. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Someone needs to tell the enemy, don't you get rejoicing yet, devil. I'm getting up right now. I'm getting up this very moment. This my heart is burning to stand for the Lord. So when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Exodus 19:4, God said this, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bear you on eagle's wings. Can anybody testify this morning about being bore on the wings of eagles? When you were going through a mess, God caused you to soar above it. How many have ever been in a place and God has brought you up when you didn't even think you could get up? Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand over my righteousness. God will never let you fall to the place that he can't find you. Give him praise. He deserves it. Choose to get up. Choose to get up because God upholds you. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've been young, but now I'm old. Is there any seasoned veterans in the house that can testify? I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. David said that. The man who lost everything, the man who was rejected by home and family, the man that was rejected by even his own enemy, this man said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread, because the Lord upholds us. So choose to get up because he holds us. Choose to get up. Because the only way you're defeated is if you stay down. You need to hear that. Choose to get up. Because the only way you're defeated is if you stay down. Don't stay down. Don't allow yourself to soak in the bath of depression. Don't allow yourself to sit there and bask in the works of the enemy. Don't allow your mind to ponder all his attacks. Because when we think about the Lord and his goodness, and we think about his provision, the Bible says that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Where God has brought us from, what he has brought us out of. How many God's delivered you? How many been delivered in this house? How many been set free in this house? How many been brought out in this house? You got a testimony to testify about this morning. God's been good to you. So if you're down right now, if the enemy's got you down, get right back up. Don't stay down. Get up and tell the devil you're not gonna stay here, because the only way you can be defeated is if you stay there. You see, the Bible says a righteous man falls seven times and he gets up again. Now, let me tell you something. It's important to note this. Righteous people fall. You mean to tell me that perfect people make mistakes? I mean to tell you there ain't a perfect person in the building this morning. That's what I mean to tell you. You mean to tell me that when we come in and we're like, oh, hallelujah, it could be all a mess in our life? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You mean to tell me that it isn't always easy and when the devil's got me down and he's beaten me down to the ground that I'm supposed to just get up and say, devil, get off of me? Yes, that's what I mean. Don't stay down. Don't lay on the ground and mope in it, but get up and be the righteous person God called you to be. For the righteous falls seven times and he gets back up again. I'm always excited when I hear of someone who's made mistakes in Christianity, but then I hear the result that they're still serving God. I don't spread those evil things that people attack other Christians with, and that's just the devil working in the church house. They attack other Christians with evil things and evil accusations. Well, did you hear that Sister So-and-so, what she did? Did you hear what Brother So-and-so did? Oh, that's the work of the enemy in the house of God to try to cause discord and try to sow seeds of doubt in this house. And the enemy wants to do that. But I'm always thanking God that when some believers made mistakes or stumbled or got hurt or the enemy tripped them up in some area in their life, that when you see them in the house of God the next Sunday, that's a reason to shout about. That's a reason to dance, because God, they got up. They got up. That's a reason to give glory to God. You're a reason to give glory to God this morning, because there are times in your life when you were down and you said, I'm not going to stay right here. I'm not going to allow myself to be defeated. I'm going to get up and I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. You didn't know this, but sometimes we're on a recovery mission. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm on a recovery mission. I got to recover some things the devil stolen from me. They were safe in my hands, not but just a few years ago, but now all of a sudden the enemy's taking them. But I'm going to recover all those things. I got to get those things. And I can't stay down in the defeat of what he's taken. I got to get up and say, Lord, can I get it back? Lord, is it possible that as I come to you and trust you, God, that whatever the enemy's taken from you, you can restore? Is that possible, God? Is it possible that what the enemy meant for evil, you can turn around for good? Is it possible that, God, you're going to bring me through this, and on the other end of it, you're going to see my backside, that's it, and give it glory to God because he brought me through it? Yes, it's possible. Right now, some of you are on a recovery mission. You're recovering what the enemy has stolen. But know this, you shall recover all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll recover everything the enemy has stolen from you. You'll recover your sons and your daughters. Oh, glory be to God. You'll recover them. How do you recover them? You put your trust in God, and you don't focus on the kicks of the enemy. Hallelujah. So we choose to get up, because if we stay down, that's when we're defeated. But we get up anyway, wounded, hurt and bruised, brokenhearted, sick in our bodies, even sometimes defeated in our own mind. But we still get up. And here's my final point. We choose to get up because other people are watching. Amen. I want you to hear something. David had to encourage himself. The people were whispering amongst themselves, let's stone him. It's his leadership that brought us to this place. Let's stone him. We wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for him. We could be home in Israel doing fine, eating bread, being okay. But no, here we are with David, because we believed him to be something, and look at what he's led us to. And they're ready to stone him. And David, sitting there knowing what the people are saying, his own heart broken from his own loss, even probably feeling like a failure in his own leadership, and he says in his heart, Lord, this can't be the end. This can't be the end. And he cries out to God. I want you to notice that the men watched David and what he was doing. They watched him. David, how are you going to respond to this, oh, apple of God's eye? How are you going to fix this problem, David? Our kids are gone. Our wives are gone. The city is burned. We have nothing, David, to show for us following you. How are you going to fix this? And David said, I can't fix it, but I know someone who can. Amen. And that's what made David great. It wasn't that David was strong and just, he was a handsome man, but it wasn't his strong physique that made David great. It was the God in whom he trusted that made him great. And so he calls for Abiathar the priest. He said, bring over the ephod. Let's talk to God. Let's get a hold of God. And everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. Mamas and dads in here, listen, your kids are watching. I said, your kids are watching. They're watching your response to the trouble. They're watching your response to the struggle. They're watching how you handle this. They're watching your determination. They're watching your focus. They're watching how close you are to God, whether you're real or whether you're fake. And they're trying to determine whether you're a real Christian or you're just one of them phonies. And they're watching you. And David noticed the men are watching him, and he says, God, if I pursue him, will I recover it? And God said, you will recover all. And so can you imagine this message that David's been given by God, how he had to preach it to the people who wanted to kill him? David gets up behind the pulpit that Sunday morning. Everybody in the crowd wants to kill him. The Lord gave me a word. The word is, we're going to pursue the enemy and we're going to recover everything. Could you imagine how hard that must have been to sell? It's hard to sell some things, amen? Like selling ice to an Eskimo, right? That'd be kind of tough. David had to sell that, and the people bought it. And they said, okay, let's do it. Let's go. Let's pursue. For it was the only hope they had. I want you to know something, that in this life, God is the only hope you have. Did you hear that? I said, God is the only hope you have. Because everything else will fail you. People will fail you. Ministries will fail you. Those loved ones that you think you can count on all the time, every time, they will at some point fail you. There are always going to be points in our lives where people and things and what we thought would bring us through doesn't bring us through. But when they are not there, we know whom we trust in. And David said, I know that God's going to bring me through this. And everyone's watching him. Everyone's watching. Could you see them overlooking these people? The Bible said that they were all dancing and rejoicing in this valley, and they were spread out. And could you imagine David looking down and going, I see my wives. Hey, I see your kids. They're right there. Could you imagine how those men's heart felt when they saw their loved ones not dead, but alive? And David said, let's go get our family. Let's go get them. And they marched down in that valley while they're rejoicing and shouting, and they broke up the party. Talk about crashing a party, amen. David comes down there, and the Bible said that he slaughtered them. Only 400 escaped on camelback, just trying to get away from him. Could you imagine the rage of the fathers? The anger of the husbands? The anger of these men? Listen, men, you and I know. You mess with our kids and our bride, someone's going to die. Right? Come on now. Men, am I right? I know I'm not wrong. I know I'm not lying, and I hope I'm not the only man in the house that feels this way. Mess with my kids, mess with my wife, and someone's going to die. Hey, man. Just kind of how it works, right? That's how God pre-programmed us. Could you imagine these men that were there getting ready to fight, all of them knowing that their wives and their children were held captive by these men, the rage and the frustration and the anger that was there. Listen, we need to quit looking and blaming God for the trouble and start looking to God to get us out of the trouble and tell God and point our anger and our rage towards the enemy. Pointed towards the enemy who's attacking you. Direct the attack towards the right direction. Because the enemy will get you so discombobulated that you're looking at God, blaming God. But you're not supposed to blame him, for he's the hope. I said, he's the hope. And when all hope is lost, it isn't lost for you. Because you have God. I said, you have God. And so you can be encouraged today that the choice is yours. I need to say this again. You can be encouraged today that the choice is yours. You can lay down and allow the enemy to keep kicking you. Or you can choose to get up. That's all your decision. And all I can do as a pastor is say, I brought you to the water. Are you ready to drink? I said, are you ready to drink? Because the Lord is ready to bless you.